Thursday, July 11th, from 5 a.m. until midnight, WPFW honors Ellington on the occasion of his 125th birth year with Ellington 125, a celebration beyond category. We will tickle the sonic keys with all things Ellington, from his three-minute instrumentals to his theatrical scores and sacred concerts, all in support of building our relocation fund. That's Ellington 125, a celebration beyond category. Thursday, July 11th, from 5 a.m. until midnight on WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
Nowadays, it seems like there's a lot of bad things going on, and I guess a lot of it, from the way I see it, seems to still stem from lack of feelings on our parts, is how we relate or communicate with our fellow brothers and sisters. Hatred is a feeling, love is a feeling. Let's hate all that does not allow us to love. And we can do that just by getting to know each other and talking to the people. Who can you turn to tell your troubles? Tell them too. You can't go around wondering what it is you gotta do. You gotta be ready and willing to make a move. Nobody can push you if you don't wanna move. You suffer, cry, and hate, and live the American way. Fly the hateful skies of America, fly the American way. Gotta talk to the people. Yeah.
Good morning.
Hey.
No singing. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning,
Don. Good morning.
Wow. Well, listen, guys. We just got a note that we are having difficulty with our phones. So we will do the best we can this morning to bring you guys in. And hopefully we can correct the problem before the show is over.
Right.
And, you know, the day after 4th of July, you know, we wanted to open our phones and let you guys talk about the things that, that you know, are concerning you, or the things that you wanted to share with us. So let's hope that we can get these phones operational and, you know, because your comments, your thoughts are what this program is all about.
Right. Your voice is important to us.
Look, it's not only important to us, it's important to you as a community, because we do exercise freedom of speech here, and we want you to have that right fulfilled, and we encourage you to fulfill that right. Okay? Good morning, Don. Are you there with us, man?
Good morning.
Here he is. All right. Chip? All right, well, listen, the day after the 4th of July, like I said, our plans this morning were to open our phone lines and see what you folks are talking about out there. What are you thinking about? There is a lot to discuss. The Supreme Court, you know, Biden's performance, you know, the Kamala Harris factor, and so much more.
Project 2025.
oh my goodness, you know, my conf, you know, and you know, so let's see what we can generate here. Let's we'll be in touch with our engineers to see if we can get these phones up, because I know you folks have a lot to say, and we want you to say it. All right, how about that? So, Chip, Don, yesterday we celebrate the 4th of July. Some celebrate the 4th of July.
Right.
You know, as Frederick Douglass poignantly made the observation that, you know, what is the 4th of July to a slave?
Right.
Yeah. And here we have a situation where, you know, people are, you know, celebrating America, you know, and all its promise and such, and you know, and I can't help but wonder, do they know how critical or how fragile this country is right now? You've got, you know, right wingers talking about civil war. You got you know, factions of all sorts, you know, providing, you know, misinformation out there to the public, and you know, polls out there taking the pulse of the people, asking, you know, very controversial questions. So, Chip, Don, we're going to start with you guys until we get our phones operational here. About this whole notion of freedom of speech and is it under threat, you know, in this political season of ours?
Right.
You know, like I said, there's a Supreme Court decision was, my goodness, you know, what a gift for the 4th of July, right? We're going to turn this into a dictatorship. We'll single-handedly are going to just hand over the power, you know, to the powerful, you know. So, what are your thoughts?
Fourth of July is a, you know, patriotism in general in America is a complicated thing for the black man, right? I mean,
for the white man too.
Well, you know, not as much as it is for people of color. This idea that this country is free, because we've never really achieved the level of freedom as our white counterparts, even today, you know. So it's an interesting dilemma, you know.
It is.
But I mean, we're in a situation where, you know, some say that, you know, we're running around acting like our hair's on fire, and it's overblown, it's exaggerated, but the fact that certain people feel the freedom to lay out a plan like Project 2025, that they feel the freedom to be public and open about their intent to usurp power, to take away any of the guardrails that were instituted by the founding fathers and perpetuated by people following after, is frightening, you know.
It's very frightening. And that's the point I wanted to make about white citizens, because this is, you know, when they talk about patriotism, you know, what is patriotism to them?
Right.
You know, we're turning back to the stars and bars, you know, that you know what we're witnessing out there. you know, and they bear responsibility, you know, for the atmosphere, you know, that exists in this country where, you know, right-wing extremists are, you know, gaining more power, you know, through the courts, you know, through local election, you know, mechanisms, gerrymandering. And, you know, it's so, you know, how do white folks justify, you know, this current atmosphere? Because if a clear majority didn't want it, it wouldn't exist.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a clear majority that want it. There's definitely a clear majority of people that will not stand up to fight it, which is the problem, you know, that there is a minority that I think that's trying to institute it, but there's a majority of people that don't have the courage to stand up and fight it, which is always the problem, right?
Always the problem.
You know?
And that Supreme Court decision is, I mean, you know, when I saw people yesterday, you know, scurrying around trying to get their 4th of July thing going, you know, with the T-shirts and the hats and the flags and so on and so forth. And I couldn't help but wonder, I said, do these people really know what the hell is going down?
Right.
You know? I mean, do they really know? Do they really care? You know? And that's a question I certainly couldn't answer for them. But I just you know, you get so caught up in the revelry. But here we got a Supreme Court that essentially turns out democracy, what democracy we do have, into something else, and into a potential dictatorship, and more. And how dangerous that is. Do they realize how dangerous that is? You know? So,
and it's interesting for so many people that are constantly talking about what the founding fathers intended.
Yeah.
It's like, this is in no way related to what they intended.
And you know, Don, you know, I know that, you know, a lot of our PFW listeners are very concerned about these things. Some say, well, what did you expect? You know, what did you expect? I mean, the country has a history of acting this way. How do you address it? You know, and look, in the political landscape right now is so mishmash. You know, because people are telling Biden to step away. You know, Democrats are telling Biden to step away. And you know, so there's a lot of confusion out there. So, Don, what are you hearing? What are you experiencing out there?
I think the Republicans should step to tell 45 the former president of the United States to step away.
He should, you know. I mean, literally. Now, you know, that's the real craziness of this. Now, hey, you got a guy convicted, you know, of various crimes, you know, who have said our who've already said that he will turn this into a dictatorship day one in office, and they're worrying about Biden, you know, stumbling over a few words.
Yeah,
you know,
it is the power of people to live in their own delusion you know, that that anytime Trump says anything like that, like I'm going to be a dictator on day one, you know, they scoff at it as being reality. You know, oh, you guys are just, you know, he's being hyperbolic and you guys are just falling for it. You know, it's, you know.
No, and, we're not.
And they're, you know, their ability to suspend disbelief, you know, to look at this guy's history and just say that that's not who he is, you know, is it's amazing, you know. And it's like I said, it's frightening. It's frightening how people can be bamboozled like that, you know.
Bamboozled. And yes, that approach is being observed by many historians as the same approach used by the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler and their quest for power.
Mm-hmm.
And the parallels are too numerous to mention. And, you know, what it, why people can't see that, or why people refuse to see that. But, you know, people refuse to see it then.
Right. Yeah, and there's always an overlay, you know, with these kind of things are like, you know, they say that, you know, when you want to cook lobster, you know, you put them in cold water and slowly turn the heat up.
Right.
And then also there's the factor that these people who have voted for Trump before, they are, like most of us, reticent to admit that they may have made a mistake. So they double down rather than admit that, you know, they might have been wrong. And it's a dangerous habit that we as humans have. This idea if we get locked into a path, even if we know it's not correct, but we've already started it, so we're going to keep going, you know.
We want to finish it, huh? Yeah, okay. All right. I'm a building engineer. Do we have access to phones yet? And this is what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we get access, we will bring you folks, you know, into the conversation. I want to hear from you about all this. Like I said, there's so many layers of dysfunction, you know, right now. And people are so confused, once again, because of misinformation or because they choose to be
right
confused, you know. I mean, when you approach a Trumper with the fact that, hey, he's just been convicted of 34 counts, you know, and you think he's qualified, you know, to be president of the United States.
Right.
Can you imagine if Obama had 34 convictions?
They would hang him.
Yeah, they would be calling for it. That's right. And yeah. And don't look. They were trying to, if they're going to try to hang Mike Pence, okay, then they certainly would have tried to, there would have been cause to hang Obama if he would be guilty of that sort of thing. And people say, oh, no. Yeah. Listen, reality bites. Those people who invaded the Capitol on January 6th, you know, had scaffolds, you know, with nooses. Yeah, so, you know, that was a very, very angry and out of control crowd. And even today, you know, you got, you know, right-wing people and Republicans talking about, well, we ought to just get over it. I mean, you know, really?
Really, yeah.
How do you get over that? For the first time in American history, you know, the Capitol is almost sacked.
Right.
But we're supposed to just get over that.
No. You know?
And once again, here's that patriot question again. Because to Trumpers, they are patriots. You know, they are patriots. They, you know, and I'm going to let them go. I'm going to release them. I'm going to pardon all of them. You know, it's incredible. Incredible.
Right. And and you look at what's also, you know, going on in the conservative wing, this thing of trying to put Christianity into the schools, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Ten Commandments,
we want to teach the Bible. It's like, how many hundreds of years have we been hearing over and over a separation of church and state, you know? And I've gotten into arguments with people like, well, this country is a Christian country. This country was not founded as a Christian country. In fact, you know, many of the founding fathers didn't believe in Christianity at all. And Thomas Jefferson, you know, wrote letters to churches saying that that this country was about a separation between church and state. You know, this is not a theocracy, you know. And we constantly hear people rail against Middle Eastern countries for having bound their government with religion. But it's like, oh, if it's Christianity, we're okay with that, you know?
Yeah, we're okay with that. And to think that this country was founded on the principle of religious freedom. I mean, that's why the Pilgrims came here.
Right.
Okay. That's why the Pilgrims came to this land to establish a new country free of that type of persecution, you know. And once again, because it's, I don't know, man. I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, how do you explain away history? So I guess in revisionist history, they'll say, well, the Pilgrims didn't come here for religious freedom. They came here because they were tourists. Okay? They were tourists. They were just looking for someplace else to hang out. You know, man. But that's where we are, folks. And unfortunately, that's where we are. You know, but it's very important that you exercise your freedom of speech and such, because, you know, there are those that will take that away from you. I mean, Project, what's that, 2025, Chip?
2025, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, they just want to destroy the protections that currently exist. I mean, that are already being challenged. Well, you know, with Project 2025, and I encourage every listener out there to look at that document. Okay, this is a document produced by, you know, right wing conservatives,
right?
You know, Republican conservatives, you know, to take over the country.
Yeah, to remove. I mean, basically, it's about what Trump has always said. You know that. We get rid of the idea that we have people in government who do the job of government, you know, without partisanship. You know, his idea is to build a government of loyalists. You know, to change. You know, it's funny because, you know, we joke about how government jobs, it's hard to fire anybody in government. You know, the government workers are lazy because they're constantly covered, you know, that you can't get rid of them once they're in there. And their idea is to change many of these positions to what's called a Schedule F, that you can be fired at will, you know, so that they can clear out people who do the job based on what the job is, and bring in people that do the job based on their loyalty to a president or a party or an idea, you know, that this becomes, it becomes a fiefdom, you know?
Yeah, and they want to throw sand. The king. They want to throw sand in the works, you know, and because, and see, this is what's so insidious about these types of plans. You know, they want to bring people in that are going to throw sand in the engine works, you know, and then blame the engine, you know,
for not running well, right?
For not running well, you know, and it's incredible, you know, what we're witnessing here. It really is, and people need to pay attention. So, all of you out there, check out this manifesto of 2025. And hey, look, 2025 is in January, so you know this plan, yeah, you know, has been worked on for a number of years, and now the Supreme Court has also essentially endorsed that plan, you know, through their recent, you know, rulings. So the fix is in, and we need to be aware of that, because that is also a key factor in this upcoming presidential race.
Yeah, I mean, it puts more skin in the game, because we're at that pivoting point where you know, we have a chance to stop it. But once that thing, if it's allowed to get started, it becomes much harder to reverse its flow. I mean, and that's why it's 2025, because that's when the new president takes over, you know, and it's, you know, as Trump said, you know, day one, he would be a dictator, jokingly, apparently. Yeah.
Well, but he ain't joking.
It seems like everything they're doing, you know, leading up to it is, yeah, day one, let's give him the power to be a dictator.
My goodness. Did you guys, did you do anything special for the 4th?
No.
No.
I stayed in bed.
It was a little bit dark out there, it seemed to me, to be a regular 4th of July, you know.
Yeah.
Both in the temper of the nation and in the weather. So we had our weenies inside.
Had your weenies inside?
You know what they say, it's not the 4th of July, not the 4th of July until the wieners comes out, right? You know, put them on the grill.
in my neighborhood, is they got the flags out and everything, and kids running around, you know, it's a time for a quote-unquote celebration, you know. But like I said, the thought I just kept having, I said, do these people really know how close we are to uncelebrating,
right,
that independence, you know, dismantling that independence, you know, going to, you know, forcing your child to go to a school where they indoctrinate the kids with religious, you know, messaging. And, you know, it's, you know, when you think about that, I mean, like all the pillars of democracy are being crumbled.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. You know, no more separation of church and state. A Supreme Court that is only beholden to corporate interests, you know, and to right-wing interests. It's just, you know, you got a president running for, or you got a candidate running for office that's a convicted felon, you know, and, you know, it's just...
He is an entertainer, reformer.
What was that, Don?
He is an entertainer, performer. Or performer, whichever choice words you want to take. He's a performer or entertainer. He's not real.
Well, you know, him being an entertainer isn't that bad into itself.
Right.
You know, but it's his whole concept of leadership, you know, it just does not exist. I mean, except for do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the Ten Commandments in the school, and vote a guy who's broken every single one of them, pretty much, right?
And how can the American people square that? You know, and how can white citizens square that? You know, with the present reality, do they want their kids to, you know, be subject to religious indoctrination? You know, when you got so many different religions out there, you know, and these folks are pushing this stuff hard. You know, well, we want to make this a Christian nation again. Well, then stop killing people.
Right.
Okay. You know, stop allowing the police to beat up and maim people, you know, and kill people. You know, some justice, you know, let justice prevail. You know, these are ills of this country.
Right. And the idea that this is somehow a panacea, you know, the problem is that our kids don't get the Ten Commandments and don't know the Bible. It's like, yeah, you know, they were getting the Ten Commandments and knew the Bible when they had slavery. They, you know, had the Ten Commandments and used the Bible when they subjugated women. You know, it's like this idea that somehow the past was so much better. You know, it was so much better for certain people, you know.
Indeed. And, you know, every time you watch an episode of Wagon Train, mm-hmm. you know, you better remember, you know, what that was all about, you know. And, but once again, you know, because they were pursuing power and opportunity, they were able to bend themselves into pretzels to do this, to justify this.
Mm-hmm.
Manifest destiny. Remember that?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. We supposed to be doing this, and we're destined to do this. And so, what if we kill a bunch of Native Americans? This is our destiny. We must do this.
This is our land, and we have a right to be here. You know, it sounds familiar, you know, sounds like, you know, somebody taking someone else's land and saying that it's theirs and they have a right to exist on it. Where have I heard that recently?
Where have you heard it historically?
Right.
Okay.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over again, like a broken record. Once again, folks, you're in tune to 89.3 FM WPFW. This morning on Community Watch and Comment, we're having some phone issues, so we cannot at this time take your calls. We hope that we resolve this before the end of the program. Have not been able to do so thus as of yet. But once we do, we will go to those phones immediately. I know you folks have a lot of things to say, and we certainly would like to hear it. A lot of opinions about all of this, okay? But once again, so bear with us. And if, like I say, if we can resolve this before the end of the show, we will bring you folks online, okay, so that you can make your comments and thoughts known, because that's what's important. That's what's important to good governance, okay, that the people be involved.
And participation. People also have to be,
right, but people also have to be told the truth about these things. So that, you know, they know, so that they can make credible decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. It's hard to make credible decisions. And, you know, you got people out there talking about, you know, Democrats are baby killers and, you know, abortion is only, you know, we want to be right on abortion because we don't want our kids to be fetuses to be killed. But then at the same time, they don't want to give that fetus health care.
Right.
They don't want to give them education. don't want to give them opportunity, you know? So, well, what are you talking about here? What are you talking about? Yeah, okay. So, anyhow, that's where we are, folks. And we certainly, you know, got issues that we need to deal with in this country collectively, you know, amongst right all now. Of us.
Right, right now. Immediately, right now.
Yeah. Somebody's talking about, I just got a text from someone saying that, you know, once again, it's always about, well, the Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans. Well, you know, some would say it's difficult to argue with that, you know, but that track record, you know, I mean, if you got an entire party dedicated to subjugating you openly, okay, that wants to allow religious indoctrination because that's what they like, you know, somebody has to stand in the way, you know, somebody's got to say no. You know, right. And you know, that's just the way it is. If the Democrats weren't there to challenge the Republicans on their objectives, then who would be?
Yeah,
who would be?
But you know, my thing I always say is I think that's disingenuous to say that the parties are exactly the same because. If you look at it, if you just look at a photograph of the members that make up each party, you know, at least we have seats at the table. I mean, there's certainly more black people or people of color in the Democratic Party in decision making spots than there are on the other side of that aisle. And it makes a difference, you know. And
it's a huge difference.
Yeah. And the policies that they institute, you know, are not perfect, you know. And there's so much more to be done, but it does move in a different direction than the other side.
And you know, those that don't want to acknowledge that, well, you know, that's... You put Donald Trump in office and see what happens. Okay, you know, you just do that and see what happens.
Yeah, the problem is we can't afford to make that test because
exactly
it may not be a way to get back from that. But
exactly, and that's, you know, so if there were, you know, a healthy third party system, you know, and such, then. You know, I believe many of our listeners would rather have that than just two-party system that we're victimized with now.
Yeah.
But that's not where we are. You know, and, you know, a vote here, a vote there, you know, can't get rid of gerrymandering because the states are controlled by Republicans. You know, you can't stop this resegregation, you know, of communities. So, all right. So, I just got a message from my engineer that we can take calls. So let's get right to it.
Oh, cool!
Ah, excellent. Thank you, engineers. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Great.
So, anyhow, the number to call is 202-580-8893. Share your thoughts on all of this right here on Community Watch and Comment. Freedom of Speech Friday. So let's see. Do we have a caller ready for them? Let's get right to it. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Good morning. Y'all started the show perfectly. You're talking about people are saying this is a Christian nation. It's very simple. We know that someone got convicted and is a felon. We know that someone is definitely a rapist. We know that someone is a liar. But now you want to hammer the Ten Commandments? So this is all I got to say.
That's it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's that. You know, that's what's so poignant about this.
Right.
You know, I mean, good gracious. You know, but it's, you know, that racism and such is just so overwhelming that, you know, they would support Hitler if Hitler was running.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get back to the phones. 202-588-0893. Good morning, caller. You on PFW.
Good morning. Is it me?
That's you.
Excellent. Listen, I think you're limiting your things. What you have now is a choice of two evils. One who is sending your money to massacre unarmed people, civilians, and he does it. He's not cognitively deficient when he wants to do that. He goes around Congress and makes sure he gets that. You got two other people who are the next two in line who are in favor of the same thing. The thing that maybe you should think about is voting for a third party. A third party is the only way, I think, right now. And I think these leaders are going to get arrested. It sooner or later, it's already happening. We just don't realize it because of white supremacy. We don't think in this country we can be beaten. We're being beaten in every country that we've come in since World War II. And they're going to beat them in Palestine. They're going to kick the United States as a result of Israel's loss out of the Middle East entirely. They're going to finally make us face the fact that we have a $35 trillion debt. They're going to kill us economically. They're not going to fight us. Martin Luther King was right. You can't fight somebody who spends half of their budget, and it's a tremendous budget on the other thing. And you got people doing that and trying to fight them on that. The only thing I suggest to people is to look. Arm yourself, because look what happened to the Palestinians who are not armed. They're getting massacred, and they're calling their battles and attacks on certain areas. It's not an attack. If you go after an unarmed group of people, then it's a massacre, and we're paying for it. And none of these people...
A lot of people would happen to agree with it. Like I said, a healthy third or fourth party would be great for this country.
Do it. But
unfortunately, you know...
Temporarily, we can fight off Trump for four more years. We did it before. We can do it again.
I don't know about that, my friend.
Well, I do.
Because these guys, they're so ruthless.
They lost every battle.
You know, so I just don't know. I mean, if he's coming out talking about he's going to be a dictator day one,
mm-hmm.
you know, and start locking up political opponents. And I mean, listen, I mean, a person like that, a group like that will come after your favorite radio station.
They already may be. Your radio, your phone thing might not be accidental. I would investigate it.
Yeah, my friend. Hey, listen, man, thanks for taking the time and being a patient with us today, okay?
Take care.
Your comments are welcomed, all right?
Okay.
202-588-0893. That's the community watching comment. This morning we're just opening our phone lines to discuss any myriad of issues out there, everything from the Supreme Court to the, you know, Biden having campaign issues, and, you know, it's a mess.
Right.
It's the best out there. My gosh. All right. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
It's me.
Hello. That's you.
Hi, good morning. How are you, everyone?
All right.
I texted earlier trying to read someone say this is, you know, it's a real pity party. And I certainly have never voted for a Republican and never will. But the Democrats have shown through their lawfare campaign against Trump, where they, you know, basically threw up anything on the wall that stuck. The entire Russiagate campaign that was launched, you know, before he was even inaugurated, was an indication of the not just deep state, but the media and the Democrats, you know, aligning to say, you know, this is illegitimate. And you notice they take every word of Trump as, you know, something that could, you know, must be, you know, written in stone, because it couldn't be a joke, it couldn't be an offhanded comment. He's a mostly jokes and sarcasm of his opponents, because he is, after all, a master of television. You got to give him that part of his. He's a bigot, he's a racist capitalist, and he's just a Republican. He's not a fascist, even though everyone wants to say he is, because obviously, if he was a fascist, then you'd have to choose Joe, corrupt, decrepit, racist, who his very too. From the beginning, Joe Biden was a racist, and he approved all the, you know, the Supreme Court judges the Republicans set up, and, you know, then they resort to him, and they steal it from Bernie. The Democratic Party, my hope is that it is effectively destroyed by the end of this election, and that there's some space for a working class party to emerge. And by the way, I say vote Party of Socialism and Liberation. They draw a crude but strong class line, because they say no to Trump and no to Biden. And they say no vote to Democrat. Yeah. Either or is not a lesser evil.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Now, you just said that you like to see the Democratic Party destroyed.
Yes.
And you outline some reasons why you feel that way.
Because
now, is there any room in that thought process to wanting to see the Republican Party destroyed? Are they okay with you?
No, Ron. They'll be taken care of. The Republican Party is overtly capitalist. They represent American capitalism and racism and imperialism. The Democratic Party does too. It's the oldest party in America, the Democratic Party. It was representing slave owners before Abraham Lincoln was, you know, was out of his, you know, had cut his teeth, so to speak. His family home. The Democratic Party of Andrew Jackson was the party of small farmers who, you know, aspired to, you know, free land from the Indians, and hence he, you know, he told people that John Marshall had defended the Cherokees at the end of his life. With some decision, but then let he should enforce.
Okay, well, right now.
But it seems like you're not accounting for any change in history in the Democratic Party.
No. Okay, let me ask you this: when did the Democratic Party become the party of the common man? Are you going to say Franklin Roosevelt?
Well, I think Franklin Roosevelt was a start, but I think there was a definite sea change in 64 after the Civil Rights. I mean, all of those guys that you were talking about, you know, the Democrats like Strom, Thurmond, and those guys, they became Republicans. You know, the solid South said they would never vote for a Democrat again. You know, they took over the Republican Party. That's when the change happened. You know, when I was a kid, people of color were Republicans. You know, that was the party of Lincoln. But that changed in 64.
A Republican. That's right. Yes, he did. At their origins, a progressive party who sought to defend American capitalism by destroy and extend it across the continent. So they had to kill Indians, too, once they destroyed slavery. And they rallied the working class of the North with the promise of free labor, which of course.
The point is this. Like I said, I'm sure a lot of people would agree that an expanded, you know, party system would be best and would be in everybody's interest. Okay, because both parties right now control the narrative. And if you're talking about the destruction of one, you know, without the, you know, without the destruction of the other, then, you know, that's just not, that's, you know, so I'm just saying, let's be objective, you know.
I'm not saying their party headquarters should be sacked. You know, that's what fascists do. But the fascists,
that's what these guys want to do, though, man.
When did this happen?
All right, I'll tell you what. Just go ahead and, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with Project 2025, okay? And, you know, just examine that.
I'm familiar with the project for the New American Century that was Bush, H.W. Bush's post-destruction of the Soviet Union that planned for
About 2025, the destruction of America,
American
politics,
no
government, as we know it. Okay, what? So let's just say we're going to agree to disagree on this. That I think that both parties need to be held accountable, you know, for the atmosphere and for the conditions that we are in. And until you hold both accountable, there will be no change. So
right, that's why it's making a pox on both their houses and vote for a working class party.
All right. Thanks, my
man.
Thanks for the engagement. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 202-580-0893. Let's see. We got another caller here.
Yep. You got your girl, Ida C.
What's up, Ida?
Hey, you know what? Most people don't know about that Project 2025. They don't even know what's in it. It's 900 pages. And it's done by the Heritage Foundation.
Robert is going to get you food.
Hey, listen, Chip, I mean, Don, you've got to mute yourself, man, because we can hear your conversations, okay?
I muted him.
All right, thank you. you're right. You're right, Ida. The Heritage Foundation, and they ain't playing.
They're not playing. And they're planning to push that through whether Trump is going to be president or not.
Yeah,
that's
you're right.
Their plan. And also, they are going to try to push through changing the federal government as we know it.
Right.
That's right.
They don't want any independent thinkers in there. They don't want anybody with college degrees that can think for themselves, that are going to do their job, be it Democrat or Republican. They want to put their own people in there that are not educated enough to know right and wrong.
Well, they're educated enough, but they just don't know right from wrong.
No, I'm saying that they don't really want them. I mean, you know, who is Trump's base? Who is he appealing to? He's not appealing to people that got good sense, really. And if they got good sense, they're not thinking with it, especially if they, you know, want Trump in this thing. So, I mean, people need to wake the heck up.
All right, now.
All right. I mean, it's a lot to this. Me and about 100 other females are getting a copy of that 900 pages. We are dividing it up. We're going to figure out what's in there, and then we're going to publicize it.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
All right.
In fact,
I had to say.
Thank you, Ida. Appreciate it. Jazz and justice, y'all. Okay? That's what we do. And, you know, I think it would be helpful if the station, you know, did a special on that particular document because, you know, these folks got well funded,
right?
Okay, they've got, you know, a lot of power brokers behind them, including the Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
You know, so people say, "No, it won't happen here." No,
oh, yes,
it will happen here.
Yes,
it can happen here.
It can and it will if we don't watch and see and stop playing around and getting tickled by entertainment and not paying attention to what's going on in this country right here. They're trying to revert everything back to where the way it used to be for the racists that are in the Supreme Court. Okay? It's six
back
of
to the plantation.
All right?
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. We need to wake up. And I'll be happy to, whatever information I get, I am going to share it with the station. Because the station is the only one that's sharing information that you cannot get anywhere else.
Indeed. Proud of it. That's and it. Like I say, and we also, you know, we encourage you to dialogue, you know, on this stuff. Because, you know, we don't have all the answers, right, at all. But we certainly would like for you to participate in the process of getting the answers. Okay. So we're out of here.
Yep.
Sorry for the phones. And we'll be back with you next week. Love to hear from you guys. Okay.
For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. The UK Labour Party won a national election yesterday, and party leader Keir Starmer became Prime Minister today and can now form a majority government. The win for Labour is its first in 14 years and was the largest ever defeat for the Conservative Party. Several key Conservative figures, including former Prime Minister Liz Truss, lost their seats in Parliament in the landslide election. The new Labour government will face myriad challenges, including a cost of living crisis, social unrest, and the country's support for the war in Ukraine. Earlier today, Starmer met at Buckingham Palace with King Charles III for a ceremonial moment known as the, quote, kissing of hands, in which the monarch requests the election winner form a government. Voters in Iran head to the polls today to choose between a hardline former nuclear negotiator and a little-known reformist to become the country's next president, after a helicopter crash in May killed then-President Ibrahim Raisi. Hardline candidate Saeed Jalili was Iran's top nuclear diplomat for years, where he developed a reputation as a tough negotiator. Jalili strongly opposed the nuclear deal struck between U.S. President Obama and moderate Iranian President Hassan Rouhani in 2015. Jalili has pledged hawkish foreign and domestic policies, while his opponent, Masoud Pezeshkian, has promised voters extra political and social freedoms. Voter turnout is expected to be low for this election, reflecting widespread apathy and discontent with the political system in Iran. Israeli forces killed 7 people during a military operation in the West Bank city of Jenin today, involving both a firefight and an airstrike. 4 of the dead were claimed by the Islamic Jihad militant group. The raid comes after Israel approved the largest land grab in the occupied West Bank in over 30 years, appropriating nearly 13 square kilometers in the Jordan Valley. The AP says the land seizure is Israel's largest since the 1993 Oslo Accords. Most of the world's countries consider Israeli settlements in the West Bank to be illegal, and Palestinian officials say such settlements are a major barrier to peace. Violence has intensified in the West Bank since Israel's Gaza invasion last October, with Israeli forces conducting near-daily raids. In domestic news, Biden's re-election campaign today announced a number of moves to shore up support for his presidential run and shift the narrative away from his poor debate performance last week. The strategy includes a new $50 million ad buy this month and an aggressive travel schedule that will take Biden to every battleground state. The moves come amid growing pressure among some Democratic Party leaders to drop out of the race. At least 3 sitting House Democratic lawmakers have publicly called for Biden to step aside. Meanwhile, a number of major Democratic donors are publicly warning that they will withhold funds unless Biden is replaced as the party's candidate. Biden continues to vow he will keep running for re-election. Asked on Wednesday if Biden was considering stepping down, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said, quote, "Absolutely not." And Hurricane Beryl struck Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula today as a Category 2 storm, knocking out power and felling trees as it rapidly weakens over land. Beryl earlier this week killed at least 11 people across the Caribbean as it became the earliest Category 5 storm in the Atlantic on record. 3 people were reported dead in Grenada, 3 in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, 3 in Venezuela, and 2 in Jamaica. a Mexican federal agency warned of heavy rains and potential flooding around the Yucatan resort town of Tulum. Beryl's strength has been attributed in part to record warm waters. Weather in Washington, D.C.